Okay, we're going to get started now with the last Mizmor that we're going to be learning together, which is Mizmor Kuf Lametet, 139 in Sefer Tehillim. This is also, I don't know if Rabbi Tillman informed everyone or not, but our last of the Tehillim Shirim, and I've been saving this Mizmor for the last because of, as I mentioned last week, not only that this is my favorite of the Mizmorim, but I think it puts many of the ideas that we've been learning together in Sefer Tehillim. I think it certainly closes up the series very nicely, putting different Mizmorim in perspective. So we're going to begin now with the Mizmor, as we always do, firstly by reading the Mizmor, and then dividing the Mizmor, seeing the structural content of the Mizmor as well. But first, a word of introduction. When we look at this Mizmor, which many people are unfamiliar with, we see that this is not our typical Mizmor Halil that we've been learning until this point. Not a Mizmor that begins with Hallelujah, and not even a Mizmor where we find that the Meshorer is spreading the name of Hashem, Sifru Vaguyim, which gives us a sense that this Mizmor, firstly, is not only a Mizmor of a Yachid, of an individual, as opposed to of a Tzibur, but it also gives us the impression that this Mizmor is not a Mizmor Halil, but rather, again, it centers some other type of category. And the question is, obviously, what categories does this Mizmor fit under? So we're going to read it together, and hopefully you'll be able to figure out on your own what type of Mizmor you feel this is. And certainly then, as we take a look, and if it's not a Mizmor Halil, what other categories of Mizmorim are there? Now, if you remember from our introduction, we mentioned there are also Mizmori Chachma, Mizmori Kina, Mizmori Melech, Mizmori Karbanot, Mizmori Pulchan, which is really the more general form for different psalms of the worshipping of the Beit HaMikdash. But I'm going to leave this one up to you. So we're going to begin, and we're going to read this Mizmor together, and then we're going to divide the Mizmor, and see how the Mizmor comes alive. Okay, here we go. L'mnatzeach l'David Mizmor. Here we find our typical ketovet, really the address or the opening. The koteret here of the Mizmor, l'mnatzeach, which is a kotevet or a koteret, which is really the same thing. A kotevet is the Hebrew or the modern Hebrew form for an address, meaning the place that we attribute the time setting the Mizmor to, but it's also the koteret, it's also the title, the heading. And most of the Mizmorim have headings, and now we see from these kotorot, these different titles, we get a sense that the person who's writing the Mizmor never put these titles in. Rather, it was always someone who lived thereafter, right? Putting it in perspective, trying to either attribute a Mizmor David to a certain time period in his life. And here we're going to get a sense, as we read the Mizmor, that, again, it could certainly be a Sheikh Nesset Abdullah during the process of canonization. It could be, again, one of the Chachamim who lived thereafter. We know that the writings of Shlomo were edited first by Chizkiyahu, and even that is recorded within Sefer Mishlei. So it could be David himself who writes this. It could be someone who lived slightly after David, or it could be hundreds of years after David that we find the following. L'menaseach l'David Mizmor. L'menaseach stands alone. L'menaseach is a koteret that, according to Rashi, is l'nitzachol shel olam, to he who is eternal, basically devoting this Mizmor to Hashem. However, then we know that Ibn Ezra explains, L'menaseach, the menaseach is the conductor, right? Which is the term that we use for a conductor till today, which makes a lot of sense, keeping in mind that the original Mizmorim were all recited in the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, when we see L'menaseach, we know that this is really the call, perhaps even the call of the Levium to the conductor, okay, begin reciting this Mizmor. The David Mizmor, a term that we've already seen. And we, last week, learned Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, and we mentioned either that it's David devoting it to Chanukat HaBayit, or someone else devoting it to David, knowing how much he wanted to found and to build the Beit HaMikdash. So here as well, L'menaseach LeDavid Mizmor. Either this Mizmor is attributed to David, i.e. he is the author, or this Mizmor is being dedicated in honor of David, which technically tells us that the Mizmor really begins with the word Hashem. And that's really how we're going to start. We're going to read this with Shem Hashem, trying to make this Mizmor come alive. Adonai chakartani vateda. Ata yadata shifti dekumi, banta lere'i mirachok. Orchi verevi zevita, v'chol drachai hitkanta. כי אם מילדו שוני הן אדוני ידעת כולה, אחור בקדם צייצני ופשת עלי כתך. פליעה דעת ממני, נשכבה לא אוכל לה. אנה אלך מאוכחה, ואנה מפניך אברך. ננסק שמיים שמתה. A beautiful mizmor that we have here. A mizmor that basically tells us that this is one complete thought, one complete mizmor, by virtue of the fact, if you take a look, even at the very beginning of the mizmor, which begins the poet is saying, but just to remind you, the emotions that the poet is trying to elicit from within us. So we're going to try to relate to this ourselves as we begin back in Pasuk Aleph. Hashem chakartani. Hashem, you investigate me. Now notice that the word chakira, anyone know where in Chumash the word chakira appears? Lachkor or drish? Okay, I'll give 5 seconds to answer. Okay, I don't hear or see anything coming up on the screen. So we know that in Sefer Dvarim, a few times it's mentioned with reference to bringing someone into a court of law, into a Beit Din, and the aid that has to undergo is called Risha v'Chakira, has to undergo investigation. And we have to make sure that they are truly viable witnesses. That being the case, we get a sense here, Chakartani, that the persona who's speaking here, the poet, feels that he's under investigation. Chakartani! Right, Hashem, you investigate me, right? Almost looking at me through a microscope. Vatayda, and you know. Again, what do you know? He's going to elaborate. Atayadata shifti v'kumi. You know when I sit. You know when I stand. Vata l're'i mirachok. Here, re'i means my thoughts. You build my thoughts from afar. What does he mean from afar? It means from afar in the realm of time. Right, you build my thoughts, or you know my thoughts before I know them. And you read my thoughts. And now, let's already begin by trying to somehow relate to what the Mishorer here is telling us. And that is, I think, something that we can all relate to. Right, then, basically, again, the idea here of, again, Chakartani Batseida, Hashem, again, investigates me and knows me. He knows everything about me. You know, this person feels that he's under investigation, and again, as if Hashem has planted, a certain bug under his skin. Hannah, again, the basic idea over here, that he can't, as we're going to see, he feels he can't escape from Hashem. Hashem knows everything about him. Hashem reads his thoughts. Hashem knows his thoughts before he knows them. And how would one feel about this? How do you feel about the fact that Hashem knows your thoughts? And I know we learned this at a very young age. Right? Hashem knows what we're thinking. And there's a very famous midrash on Akidat Yitzchak. V'yachar hadvarim ha'elas. And one midrash says there weren't dvarim. There wasn't any conversation, but there were who raised dvarim. Everyone was thinking about saying something, and Hashem is responding even to his thoughts, which is a very scary idea. Right? Sometimes we think something, and we say, oh my gosh, Hashem knows what we're thinking. What if you think of this now? Right? And this idea is something that the Mishorer, something that the poet, is really trying to highlight. And we're going to see that he feels and very claustrophobic, right? Almost as if someone is always watching him. Right? Big brother is watching him. He knows everything about him. It's Hashem, you have planned out, basically, again, my path and my relaxation. Again, you know everything about me. You know when I sit, you know when I stand, you know what I do with my free time. Right? There is a constant web camera, right, looking at me, you know, like those web babysitters. Again, there's no escape. I can't get away from God. Right? He sees everything. Now, notice that he spoke, God sees or God knows my thoughts from afar. From afar here, he means from afar in time. Right? God knows my thoughts before I do, in terms of time. And now, God also knows in the realm or in the dimension of space. God knows my walks. God knows my destinations. God knows my travels, but also when I relax. Now, the pshat, what this means, is from the term sochem. Sochein in modern Hebrew is an agent. Sochnei bituach, an insurance agent. Sochnei nesiah, travel agent. And an agent is someone who looks out for you. So he says, v'chol drachai hizkanta. God looks out, or God basically is watching me. You know that song, God is watching me, God is watching me. Again, every step along the way. V'chol drachai hizkanta. God is indeed watching all of my drachim. Now, he means something else here as well, because he could have chosen any word. And this is what it means to really analyze the poetry. And he could have used, v'chol drachai shamarta, v'chol drachai yishkachta. But he says, hiskanta. When you hear the word hiskanta, in addition to sochein, it's clear what other word comes to mind, hiskanta. And if you type in or say in very quickly. Hiskanta. Yes. And now I hear it. Unfortunate. Miss Kane, very nice. Again, it's true. Again, Malka said very nicely, someone who is that unfortunate. And what?
Sakana.
Uh-huh. And also, Laskin. Very nice. Again, both from unfortunate. Again, God, you, one can even say, you made me unfortunate. But also milashon sakana, right? As I think and Barbara was trying to say as well. I think that from the term of sakana, meaning Hashem, you are endangering, or going back to what Malka was saying, or you're putting me in an unfortunate situation. And that clearly is part of the connotation over here. Again, he certainly means this, that Hashem, in addition to watching me, he particularly uses this word, which has the other meaning of God is endangering my way, meaning he feels threatened by God. He feels that God, although he's watching him, is also placing him in these very dangerous, unfortunate circumstances. Which brings us now to the next pasuk. He in the lab will show me. So far we've been speaking about thoughts, we've been speaking about actions. Now we're going to speak about words. Ki ein milah lo shomi. There isn't a word in my vocabulary, not a word in my tongue. Hein Adonai yadata kula, that you don't know. Meaning Hashem knows everything I'm going to say. And for Adam, who's just joining us now, it's Parak Kuf Lamed Tet, chapter 139. Mizmor 139 in Sefer Tehillim. We're ending with my favorite Mizmor. Then Hashem knows everything. Hein Hashem yadata kula. Right? Hashem not only knows my thoughts, but knows my words. He knows every word in my vocabulary. Hashem knows what I'm going to say before I know what I'm going to say. Now, on one hand, this seems very nice, right? We talk about omniscient God, and Hashem, who does know all these things. On the other hand, let's see how he feels. Achor v'kedem sartani. Achor, again behind me, and Vakedem, and in front of me, Sartani. Now, Sartani is from the Shoresh of Yasar, really, but also Sarah. Right? Achor Vakedem Sartani here means like a Matsor, that God surrounds me all around me. Vatesha Balakatachani places his palm upon me. So there are many who read this Mizmor and say, oh, he's talking about Hashgachat Hashem and how wonderful it is to always be surrounded, that God knows everything about us. We're going to see, though, from the words that he chooses, that he's trying to elicit emotions from us, and he's trying to get us to feel that it's not that he enjoys the fact that God knows so much. It's not that he is praising Hashem. He feels threatened. He feels claustrophobic. He doesn't like to be in a situation where God knows all these things about him. Or let's prove this now. Achor Vakedem Sartani. Again, Hashem, you surround me, all around me. Right? But it's clear when you see this word Sartani, what other word comes to mind? What other word do you think of? Say or type it very quickly. Sartani, what other word do you hear? Okay? I'll say you hear Tsar or Tsara. Right? That Hashem is paining me. Right, that's part of what he feels. On one hand, one can say this is a beautiful imagery. That he says, and I feel that God is placing his palm upon me. Anyone know, though, in Tanakh, when we want to say that Hashem is helping someone, or that Hashem is guiding someone, what imagery is used? Usually the imagery of Hashem placing his hands upon someone. Hashem leading someone with his hands, as opposed to the palm. Right, that, again, the palm is used for something else. Right, what is the palm used for? And we find this a few times in Tanakh. The first one is actually by Lamach in Parshat Noach. Again, it's used for clapping or slapping. Right, that's the kapayim. And the sense that we have over here is that Batesh is alike kapecha. And your palm, right, your right hand, your strong hand, your punishing hand is upon me. Meaning he feels once again that although there is this imagery, and one can even say there is a selection of words that on one hand can connote a certain level of protection and guidance, those same words have a subtle connotation of a certain sense of threat or of pain that the Mishorer here feels that Hashem is causing by always being with him. And we'll continue. Pli'at das mimeni. God, your das, your knowledge is just beyond me, meaning you know so much. Nisgava, you are elevated. Lo uchal la. And I can never get there. But uchal really has a different term in Tanakh. Uchal, like we found in Parashat Vayishlach, Vayivater Yaakov levado, Vayadei Yishimo adal tashachar, Vayar ki lo yacholo. He saw that he could not surmount him. Okay, so what is the Mishorer feeling over here? Nisgava, lo uchal la. I can't surmount you, God. You know, this isn't fair. We don't have like an equal relationship. Because you're always with me, you're always around me. Right? And again, on one hand, you get a sense that, again, he knows that this is the reality. And again, it's almost like having a best friend, but a best friend who just won't leave you alone. And this Mishorer is basically saying, God, you're always with me. And to a certain degree, it's really driving me a little insane. Because you know my thoughts before I do. You know, sometimes you talk to a friend who knows you so well, and she finishes your sentences off for you. You know that feeling? So the first few times it's really cool. Wow, you know exactly what I'm thinking. But after a while it can get a little annoying. Right? Just let me finish. Hashem, you know my thoughts, you know my words, you know everything. You won't leave me alone. And I feel that you are constantly surrounding me. I feel that you're always with me. And you know what? It's just not fair. Because you know so much. You are beyond me, I admit. Right? You are God and I am mortal man. But you are beyond me and I can never surmount you. Meaning this is an equal ground, God. I don't like this. And we get a sense that he's really a little unhappy with this relationship. So if we qualify until now what type of relationship he's talking about, it's one wherein Hashem has the upper hand in the realm of time, Hashem knows things before they happen, in the realm of space, that he knows the destinations, he knows exactly where this person is always going, he knows everything about him, he knows our thoughts, he knows our words, he knows. And again, it's not an equal relationship because God is God and Bachakol, in the end, man is simply man who can never surmount God in this regard. So let's see what the Mishorer wants to do. Anna elech meruchacha. Many parshanim explain this to me. Now, again, so Anna elech meruchacha. Can I run away from you, God? To where can I run away from you? in more of the hypothetical sense. But I think that if we take everything that we've been learning until now into account, then it's not a hypothetical question. He means it. He means it in a very sincere way. Anna eilech miruchacha. So Hashem, from where can I leave your ruach? How can I escape your spirit? Maybe he really does just want to get away. He wants to leave us. He wants an escape from God who's always there. Anna eilech miruchacha. The Anna mipanacha ezach. And where can I go to run away from your face? Now look carefully. What does he want to run away from? From the ruach and the panim. From the direct aspects of God. The ruach, meaning the spirit, everything about God, and the panim. I don't want that direct relationship anymore, God. Anna mipanacha ezach. Now, again, as we take a look at this as well, the idea that he wants to run away from God, the idea that he it's not that he doesn't want to have any relationship, he just doesn't want a super intense relationship. And then I'm just going to ask all of you a question, and with regard to somehow relating to this mizmor. Basically what he's telling Hashem is, Hashem, you're always with me. Right? My life is just intertwined with yours, or better yet, you are intertwined with me. And you know what, Hashem? I just need a breather. I just need some time out. I just need a break. As might as I ask, how many of you ever feel that you need a break from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, if you don't answer, I will. Right, Dad? Sometimes I do. Right, Dad? Sometimes I feel, okay, wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You wash nego vaser, you say brachot ha-shachar. Right, Dad? Then you go, and you daven, and that's time for your practice. Brachot, brachot hushonu, brachot achronu, zera'idah tuzayit, zera'idah tuzayit. Right, Dad? Washing on the bread as well, perhaps, if I'm eating that. Next, I know I'm learning, God, and I have to be careful. I'm not saying any lashon hara when I meet my friends. And again, each time I put something in my mouth, take something out of my mouth, the way that I dress, the way that I walk, the way that I tie my shoelaces. Everything is basically intertwined with Hashem. And sometimes, right, one could perhaps feel, you know what, Hashem? Time out. Right? I just need a little break. I need that breather. You know, sometimes you just sit, maybe you don't. But maybe sometimes you just sit in front of the television or you sit in front of the computer and you know that you're wasting your time. And they say, oh my gosh, what's the scariest part? But I know Hashem is watching me right now. And he's thinking to himself, Shani, what are you doing with your time? Why are you wasting your time? And this is really what goes on, I don't know about you, but this is what goes on in my mind. And when I am wasting time and I say, okay, I really shouldn't sit like a couch potato. Why? Because Hashem is watching me. Wouldn't it be nice just to say, Hashem, can you just give me an hour off a day? Right? How does that sound? Just an hour where I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to think about what I'm putting in my mouth. But I don't have to think about, okay, is what I'm going to say going to insult someone? Is it a lashon hara? Is it a bach lashon hara? Is it on an akadarim? Is it on an asmamon? I mean, just some time off from this intensity. And that's really what the Meshorer is asking for. He's asking for time off. I don't know if you know that in Israel, indeed, there is a phenomenon, especially when boys go to the army, where they just steal. That's their escape and their time off. A mother once shared with me that her own son, when he turned 18, took off the kippah and said, Ima, I'm taking a year break from being a dati Jew, from being religious, from being Shomer Shabbos. But don't worry, because in exactly 12 months from now, I'm going to put my kippah back on. I just need a break. I need a break from all this religion stuff. And P.S., by the way, indeed, 12 months from that point, he put his kippah back on. Now, the lesson is not take a break. Rather, the lesson is how do we deal with this? Right? Many of you are familiar with the Amish who also have this. Right? A year off when they can explore, where they don't have to be Amish, but they have to make their decision at the end of the year. Right? So, a certain degree, that's what the Meshorer is asking for. God, can I just get away from you? Pasuk Ches. In a Takshamayim, what's the problem? If I fly all the way up to the heavens, Shamata, oh my gosh, you're there. Vatia Sha'ol, and if I go all the way down to the grave, Hineka, you're there also, God. I just know it's from you. That's what I meant by, again, there's a bug inside of us. Hashem is always there. But it's not that the bug is inside of us, but rather in the world. Hashem is everywhere. Atas, down, night, left, all around. Right? Hashem is everywhere in the world, and he realizes, oh my gosh, if I go, now notice, firstly, the vertical plane, if I go all the way up to the Shemayim, or I go all the way down to the Eretz, there you are. If I go all the way to the end of the horizon, and there I rest all the way at the other end of the sea, again, that's the horizontal plane. If I try to run away from you in the vertical plane, either up to Shemayim or down in the depths of the ground, you're there, Hashem. If I try to run away on the horizontal plane, Hashem, you know what? You're there too. And look carefully at the words of Pasuk Yud. Gam sham yatzchat tavcheni. That's where you're there, but you're there with your hands to guide me. So each time you think you're saying something nice, look carefully again. And your right hand is grabbing onto me. Like grabbing has clearly a negative connotation. Hashem, you're grabbing onto me and you're not letting me go. I just want to go. I just want to get away from you. But wherever I turn, you're there. You're there. Right? And that's the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem is everywhere. Right? But here he's saying, you're everywhere and I can't get away, but I just need to get away. I can't take this anymore. I can't live with this constant, intensive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time I read this mizmor, by the way, I think of The Little Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown, so those are familiar with that, the little bunny who wants to run away from his mother for the same reason that his mother is becoming just a little overwhelming, right, a little overbearing, right, a little too protective, right, a little too nurturing. So he says, you know, mother, I'm going to leave. So Wes said, okay, where are you going? And I'm going to become a crocus in the garden. If you become a crocus in the garden, says the mother, then I will become a gardener, and I will pick you from the garden. Okay, then I will become a bird and fly away from you. If you become a bird and fly away from me, said the mother, then I will be the tree that you come home to. Okay, then I shall be a sailboat. If you'll be the sailboat, says the mother, then I will be the wind that shall carry you home. And I hope you're all getting the picture over here, where there's a little bunny who, again, based on this, I think, is trying to run away from the mother, but realizes that there's no escape. And so finally, you know what, I'm not going to tell you the end of the book yet. So let's take a look at the continuation of this mizmor. So until now he's been trying to run away through the dimension of space, vertically and horizontally. Now, pasuk yud. Va'omar achoshach yishuveni. Sometimes that if I can't run away from God within the physical dimension of space, let me run away from God within the physical dimension of time. I said, again, then maybe darkness shall cover me, v'layla or va'adeni, and the night shall be light for me. Meaning, I'll run away from Hashem through the dimension of time. I'll hide out through the night. Gamchoshach lo yachshif mimecha. But there's a problem because darkness or night isn't dark for God. V'omar achoshach mimecha, v'layla kayom ya'ir. For God, the night lights up just like the day. There isn't a difference between night and day for God. Kachashecha ke'orah, the darkness is like light. And what does he realize? Ki ata kanita chilyotai. You know why there's no escape? Because ata kanita, right? Ki ata kanita ishet Hashem shetchava. Because you created chilyotai, you created my kidneys. Now, once upon a time, it was believed that the kidneys were the seat of intelligence, right? Like the brains today. So he says, because you built my thoughts, you built my brain, you built my kidneys. Here it means to secure. Kidney, the vesen, imi. There's that word again. On one hand, sakana, you endanger me, but we're going to see that it clearly has a different connotation here. You watched over me when I was just a fetus in my mother's womb, meaning there's no escape from you, Hashem, because you're my creator, because you created me. And there's no one who knows me better than myself, no one who knows me better than you, right? You know me even better than I know myself. And we're going to see that this pasuk Yoda Gimel over here is really the transition, not only in terms of the number of pasukim over here, but really the transition throughout in this moment. This is what we're going to see right now. How do I know that everything changes? Number one, the words are going to be reused. Pasuk Yigimel Tzukeni Bebetanimi. And now through what he says, Odecha! What does that mean? Odecha? I thank you, Hashem. Until now, he's been catching. He's been complaining. I don't like this. I don't like the fact that you're always around me. I want to get away from you, and it's very frustrating that I can't run away from you, Hashem. Odecha, you know what, Hashem? I'm going to thank you. Al ki no ra'ot nifleta nifla'im ma'asecha. Al ki no ra'ot nifleta. You perform wondrous actions. Nifla'im ma'asecha. You know what, Hashem? I realize that it could be some of your actions may be a little overbearing, but they're enormous. V'nafshi yivda'at ma'od. And I know something very well. What does that word remind us of? Pasuk Aleph. And through the Mishorer's search, or through his complaining about how much Hashem knows, he comes to the recognition that he knows something too. What does he know? He knows that God knows him. He knows that no one knows him as well as God. Right there, the song in Israel. Right? I know that you know that I know nothing. Like here the Meshorer is saying, I know something. What do I know? I know that you know everything. And you know what, Hashem? Now I'm okay with it. And what we're going to realize now in the second half of this Mizmor is why he's okay with it. Why, after he's had a very frustrating, and that's what we're going to see right now, a very frustrating experience of wanting to run away from Hashem, he says, you know what? It's not so bad. Pasuk Tetvav, Lo nechad asmi mimecha. Not a single bone is missing from you, Hashem. Meaning you created me in my mother's womb, and you know every bone of my skeleton. Asher usiti b'seter. Because you made it! You made it then in hiding. What's the hiding? The mother's womb. Bukanti, you have woven me. The tachtiyot aretz, all the way in the depths of the ground. But Hashem, oh my gosh, you paid such particular attention to every aspect of me, to every stitch of my fiber, of my being. Galmira u'enacha. And of course, you know everything about me because you saw me before I was me. You saw me in my golem state, in my cocoon state. And not only that, the al sefer chachah kulam yikatevu, and you wrote down everything about every aspect of me. Yamim yutzaru, that word again of tsar, yamim yutzaru, you protected my days. And here also surrounded the days, meaning God was involved in creating me. Velo, look at the kri over here, velo with above, velo echad bahem. And each one then belongs to God. Meaning, I really, he says, I realize that, oh my gosh, I'm not me. I am your creation. And therefore, you know me. And again, almost like the Matrix, right? The Matrix knows, again, the people because they were involved in the creation. Right here, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in our creation. Of course, again, he knows us. And he knows everything about us. And it's important to him. Look carefully, the low nechad atzmi mimecha. You didn't lose that on one bone. And here's the lo echad bahim. And each bone, or each day of my creation, again, belongs to God. The li maya kruvayacha. So now he realizes that he says, wait a second, Hashem, so now I don't understand. Hey, that means that you who take care of me and you who know all my thoughts, you think about all my thoughts. But maya kruvayacha. How could, again, li maya kruvayacha. How precious are your thoughts? Again, what are your thoughts? Your thoughts are about me. How precious are they? El, v'lim maya pru re'echa el. Your thoughts are wonderful, God. Ma'atmu rashehem. How powerful, how great. Esrei michol yirbun. If I try to count them, they'll be even more than the grains of sand. Meaning, not only are you thinking about me, but you're thinking about everyone. Meaning, you know, not just my thoughts, you know every single person's thoughts. You know how much that is? And I'll lose count. Hekit soti. I finish off. I lose track of my counting. Hey, Kitsoti, va'odi imach. A beautiful term. Va'odi imach. I stop counting, Hashem. Hey, Kitsoti, va'odi imach. And yet, again, I am still with you. Meaning, I lose count and you never lose count. I lose track after a while. Forget about my own thoughts. Meaning, I lose track of trying to keep track of what you're thinking about me. For those of you, again, as you see where he's going. Right now, oh my gosh, when I think about all the things that you're thinking about, which are partially what I'm thinking about, I lose track of that, Hashem. I said, you don't lose track. Not only that, I keep talking, va'odi imach. Va'odi va'ani adayin imach. Meaning, my thoughts are still with you, even when I lose track of them. Im titol elokar rasha. So now we have a little addendum. When we find that the Meshorer is okay with this relationship, and he says, you know what, Hashem? It's really not so bad. It's not so bad that you know everything about me. It's a good thing you do, because I lose track of my thoughts. It's a good thing that I know someone is always watching me. And if you're always watching me, Hashem, then intitola lokarasha. So God, please, if you're really on my side, then get rid of all these evil people around me. And shaydamim surimini. All these people of corruption, get rid of. Asher yomrucho l'nizima. Because they're not just my enemies, Hashem, but now that we have this relationship, you're constantly looking out for me. So let me tell you, all these bad people, they're not just bad to me. Asher yomrucho l'nizima. They are also against you. Right? They are trying to rebel against you. And here, again, again, they don't pay attention to anything. Halom misanecha Hashem esna. So I hate your misanecha Hashem, the people who hate Hashem, I hate. They said, Hashem, you take good care of me, and we have this relationship, you know what, Hashem? I hate those that hate you. And again, I want to make sure that if they stand up against you, I will make sure that they collapse. I hate them with a vengeance, with a purpose. They became my enemies. They became my enemies because not only were they standing against me, but I realized that once I associate myself with God, they're standing against you. People wait, you got that I can't take. So I'm not in your mind bodyguard. But if they hate me, Hashem, that means that they also hate you because I'm associated with you. So, again, I want to get rid of them. And now the conclusion. Chakreni el vizav levavi. Notice the beginning was Hashem chakreni vaseda. I am a passive subject. Hashem investigates me against my will. He knows everything. Notice, how does the whole phraseology change here? Chakreni el. He asks Hashem. He's saying, Hashem, please investigate me. Please pay attention to me. Vadalabadi, I want you to know my heart. I want you to know everything about me. I want you to know my habits. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to know my conversations. I want you to know my challenges. And look at that. Vechaneni. A strange request. I have noticed that he said at the very beginning that he feels that he's under investigation. Here he says, Vechaneni. Test me, Hashem. Yes, test me. Now that I know, or I always knew that you knew my thoughts and you knew my words, so I know that you're testing me. Bechaneni the Dasarapai, I want you. Dasarapai means I want you to know my thoughts. Now, by the way, inherent in the word Bechaneni, test me, God, is also Bechaneni. Right? Please have grace upon me. But it's really Chakreni el Vidala Vadi, Bechaneni. It's okay, God. I can stand up to this challenge. Now that I'm okay with this, I can live with you knowing all this about me. And you know what, Hashem? If you see Zerach Otzipi, you see something you don't like, you see some shortcoming in me, Unecheni, which rhymes with Bechaneni, Unecheni B'Zerach Olam, then please help lead me in the proper path. What the Meshavar is basically saying is that it can become a tremendous burden. It can become overwhelming. It can become intimidating and really debilitating. To think, oh my gosh, God knows all my thoughts, God knows all my thoughts, what will we do all day? We're just going to sit in straitjackets and try to clear our heads of all our thoughts. Instead, what the Meshavar realizes is, look, I can't get away from God. I can't because He created me. And God knows me better than I know myself. That's the case, there's a little bit of Nechama over here. And the Nechama is that if God knows me, then He knows my shortcomings as well. And He knows what challenges I can face. He knows what I can surmount. He knows then how I can continue, I can walk on a proper path. And you know what He knows? He knows all my faults. And if He knows my faults, then let Him see them. And because we have this relationship, let Him see my faults. And when He notices them, let Him help me follow a better path. But this is also so surgically asking for it. Again, investigate me and test me. Again, yes, God, I want you to challenge me. And you know what? You'll know that every once in a while, I'll fail. And it could be that this is the background for the Mizmor. Someone who feels that he's constantly under God's microscope. Someone who feels like David, like Yov, like Yirmiyahu, that Hashem has it out to get him. Someone who feels that Hashem is judging him kechut ha-sa'ara. Someone who feels that, again, Hashem really is going to have him suffer consequences because he makes mistakes, and he doesn't want to deal with this until the very end. In the end, he realizes there's nothing I want more than a relationship with God, because it's also to my benefit. Number one, again, God will help me, but even more than that, it's not a choice. Of course God has a relationship with me, because God created me. And if that's the case, then God created me with many of these shortcomings. And if God created me with these shortcomings, then you know what? Then God knows that I have them. And it's okay, because that means that when He marks my test, He'll mark me with a curve. That means that it's about, yes, being challenged, and then telling Hashem, so know that I may not pass all these tests. Test me, but know that I'm going to fail some of them. And when I fail them, Hashem, help me study better for the next time. Help me do better for the next time. You know, the Chazal tell us that David HaMelech actually put himself up to the test with Bathsheba. He said, look, Hashem, Well, what makes Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? And I know my predecessors better than myself, and Hashem says, because they have tests, and they passed them, so he says, so give me a test. And we know that Hashem presented him, based on this midrash, with the test of Bathsheba, which unfortunately, David failed. And maybe that's the background for this. Hashem, you investigate me. I'm always under your guidance, but it's not your guidance. I'm always under your prudence. I'm always under your watchful, and your watchful observatory, critical eye. Enough, God. I don't want it anymore. And suddenly he realizes that, of course, I want it. Of course, I want a relationship with God, because a relationship with God means, number one, getting to know myself better, and number two, who doesn't want to have a relationship with Hashem? But if one has this relationship with Hashem, then one has to notice that, again, there may be consequences when we don't do so well in our tests. So when we ask Hashem, Sakrini el v'dal v'avi, v'chaneini, v'das harapai, basically telling Hashem, no, we want this. We want the challenge of life, and we know that you're very, very much in the picture. We know, Hashem, that you are the picture. We're a, im darach l'tzevi, u'nechenim v'darach olam. Hashem, you should see us, you should get to know us. And again, Be'ezrat Hashem, steer us, guide us in our own way. And this mizmor, as I told you, is my favorite mizmor. It's not a mizmor halil, it's praising Hashem, even though many Parshanim see it as a mizmor halil. Right? V'atakanitzel kil yotai, you created me. V'atakan te'shachar, v'shkunam v'achavit yam, gam sham yotai, v'chini Hashem is everywhere. But that's not the basic gist of this mizmor. Rather, this mizmor is really a mizmor chachma, a mizmor wherein, and the epistemological issues are dealt with, right? God's omniscience versus man's freedom of choice. Again, consequences here of God, ideas of the Odyssey. And as such, it's more of a mizmor chachma. And as mentioned, because of the Lashon Yachid, the singular form, it's a mizmor of a Yachid. And you can imagine this isn't something that people would recite together. And the Beit HaMikdash, this is a very personal and personalized mizmor. And I think that's why it speaks so much to me. And I said here, I'm sure it's writing from the depths of his heart about a process that he's going through, really a religious crisis, wherein he just can't live with this constant kaf of Hashem on top of his shoulder until he realizes that it has other effects, namely that we live with Hashem because Hashem created us. And if anything, again, Hashem gave us the right to live with him. And if so, then we have to make sure that we live up to the standard of Hashem. There is a famous poem that was written by Shlomo Ibn Gavura called Ebrach Mincha Elecha. That I want to run away from you to you. And Rav Meir Weiss pointed out that this mizmor is really about that. Ebrach Mincha, he said it a few times. I want to run away from you, Ebrach Mincha. But ultimately, the more that I try to run away, the more I realize not just that I can't, and not just that I won't, but that I won't want to. Ebrach Mincha Elecha. I'm trying to run away from you, but the more I run away from you, the more I realize that I can't run away from you, or the more I realize that I don't want to run away from you, the more Elecha, the closer I am to you. And when you read this mizmor, that's what I think of. You know, sometimes, especially, I go throughout the day, and, you know, I want those 5 minutes off, just 5 minutes, where I don't have to think about God. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, no! I don't want any minutes where I'm not thinking about Hashem. Because the more I'm thinking about Hashem, the more that means that Hashem is thinking about me, because he's reading my thoughts. And that's what I would love. And this is more than, it's definitely one that comes to express this. Just when you think you're getting away from Hashem, you're really getting closer. And as you try to examine, so to speak, the whereabouts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the more one learns and feels overwhelmed, then once you go to the next stage, and that is Be'ezrat Hashem, to get even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this two-part mizmor, as I said, is one of my favorite, not only because it's a very personalized one, but one that really puts a lot of issues on the table here, one that I think beautifully incorporates numerous skills of Tehillim, alliteration, imagery, again, certainly wordplay that you find in the first section, repeated in the second section, of, again, Chakreni B'chaneni, even the terms of again, lead me on the path to ultimate goodness. And this mizmor, whether, and it makes a lot of sense, it's David himself wrote it, especially at a time when he felt, Hashem, come on, just let me do my own thing just for a little while, only to realize that Hashem indeed knows our shortcomings, and hopefully we'll have some mercy on us based on that. But that a rachamim chazal, as we sometimes go through our religious crises in life, the hope is ilacha, that it will only bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really what Tehillim is all about. That the more we sing about Hashem, the more praises we sing about Hashem, the goal is not only what we learned in Mizmor Shir, Hanukkah, right, with David, Mizmor Lamed, but Hashem keeping us alive only so that we will recognize Him and we will praise Him. But can the idea as well of and Hashem who granted us life so that we can praise Him, but also so that we can get to know ourselves better. And the more we get to know ourselves, the more we'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly as well. So my hope is that as we conclude Sefer Tehillim, our study of Sefer Tehillim, even though we only dealt with two Ksatzim and two individual Mizmorim, that hopefully you picked up on sufficient skills to make Sefer Tehillim come alive. Possibly make it come alive in a way that hasn't come alive to you until now. Really thinking of what emotions does the Mishorer want to elicit with me, from within me. Here it seems quite clear. He wants to elicit emotions of, on one hand, trying to run away from Hashem, and again, with all the positive but clearly negative, painful connotations, and at the same time wants to elicit the obvious recognition at the end of God's omniscience as a manifestation of His closeness with us. I'm just going to end with the ending of the little bunny. After he says, I'm going to become an acrobat artist in the circus, and the mother says that I will be the trapeze artist who catches you. Again, finally, the little bunny says, fine, I'll just come home and be your little bunny. And I hear a similar idea that the Mishorer realizes, I can't run away from you, so I may as well stay in this situation. And you know what? When I stay in this situation, I realize that it's not so bad. And the last page of the little bunny is the mother who, again, sees the little bunny, and as he comes in, she says, come on, so have a carrot. And meaning the mother who's constantly, again, guiding and indeed taking care of the little bunny, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who guides us, investigates us, knows every word, knows every thought, again, really it's for our benefit, to be able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately, if Hashem knows us so well, to guide us, b'derecha, as we see here, b'derech olam, and that's my bracha to all of you, this chorus man, that, not necessarily that we should ask Hashem for nisyonot, for challenges, because other places in Tanakh we find that that's not encouraged, but to know that when Hashem does challenge us, that Hashem does know us. And the hope is that He'll see all sides of us, and together, right, as part of this relationship, we'll be able to be led and to lead others to Derech Olam. So on that note, not only Chanukah Sameach, but the continuation of your Shema Tova and Limud Sefer Tehillim for you. Nice to miss you and hope we have more opportunities to learn together. Kol Tov and Chodesh Tov. And again, the remainder of Chanukah Sameach and the Zot Chanukah, a beautiful way to spend the things in perspective and to remember that Hashem is indeed in our midst to a degree that Baruch Hashem, we can never run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Kol Tov.
Thank you.